It's kind of a big day, I guess, right? Like, I thought it was a big day until I started asking our Heights family, right? So I'm at Park Collective last night, and I'm like, so by show of hands, how many of you could care less about the Super Bowl? Y'all, there's about 80%. Look at the room. Okay, show of hands, you could care less about the Super Bowl. Go ahead and raise your hand, just so the rest of us can see. Like, last night was so overwhelming that I'm like, are you American? Like, I don't understand what's happening. And so it's just interesting because my follow-up question was going to be, okay, so which side are you on? I'm like, you guys don't even care. Why would I ask you what side you're on? Right? And at some point it got a little crazy and we had to rein it back. But like for me, I just need you to know I'm going for the Chiefs. Okay? And there's some specific reasons for that. One is that if the 49ers win today, that's their sixth and they would tie the Steelers, and we cannot have that. Okay, so that's the first reason. And if that's not good enough for you, I got a second reason. Go AFC. Okay, so that's another reason. The third one is my favorite though. Okay, I want to see Pastor Todd cry. So there you go. There you go. That's the... See him depressed around the office all week next week and tearing up when he shouldn't be. But whatever you do, I hope you enjoy the game. Some of you are probably like, why are we talking about this in church? Because we're family. And this is what family does, right? Families enjoy things together. It matters to our, well, I thought it mattered to our culture until I started asking. But it matters culturally. And so it matters to the communities around us. And so for us as a family, like we just enjoy, like looking around, you got family members that have jerseys on today, right? And it matters to them. So it's just an extended way of going, welcome to the family. God calls us family. And so we're in this together. We've been chatting over the last weeks in a collection of talks that we've called Seasons. And the idea behind Seasons is that whether you like it or not, you're human. And so you're going to go through seasons. Some of those seasons are stages, right? So you don't really choose it. You just kind of age. And as you age, these stages change. And as the stages change, the seasons along with them change and what's required. So week one, we just got talking about, right? Because there's seasons that just happened to us. We didn't have a choice, but that season came along. We prefer not to be in that season. And so we chatted week one, like, you got to know your season. Right? You got to sit and you got to know which season you're in so that you know your activity. And then over the next weeks, we kind of leaned into specific seasons of life. So we talked about a season of waiting, which again, if you're human, guess what? You're going to wait. At some point, you're going to be waiting because waiting has a growth component for us that is good for us. And so there's a waiting that God builds into life. And so along with that, then we talked in the next weeks about doubt and fear. And there's specific things you need to do in a season of doubt and fear that you wouldn't do in a season of waiting. And sometimes, like, if life just be life, right? Life just be life, and it's just going to happen at the same time. Sometimes you got seasons inside of seasons. And the reality is that sometimes you're in a season of celebration. And how crazy would it be to be in a season of celebration and act like you're mourning? Right? You got to have the activity that goes with it. And so last week was a bonus week. I thought we were done after celebration and just felt this like nudge from the Holy Spirit, like, we ain't done. We got to talk about fear. And so we talked about fear. And then beyond that, we're here now. And you're like, well, if we're supposed to be done 2 weeks ago, why are we still? Because we got another bonus one, right? Because I've really been kind of processing and walking with the Lord going, okay, we need to gain some understanding as a family. And the understanding needs to come around, if I've got to know my season and I got to know my activity, and I don't know if you've caught this yet, but in every single one of them, there's a common theme. I need to do that with community, right? So I need life group, strong community around me. And so the reality is that as you walk through this, if you're going to know your season, know your activity, then you really need to be hearing from God. And when it comes to hearing from God in church world, it can be a little weird. It can get a little sideways. You ever had somebody come up to you and be like, God said, and you're like, well, if God said, I ain't going to say the opposite. Like, I'm not that stupid, right? If God said, you just played a huge power move in the church world. You just played a huge power card that God said, God told me, and you now speak with the authority of God, I just think we need to be really, really careful. And this is highlighted by people that aren't familiar with God and familiar with church. Because if you're here and you don't know God, right? And I came up to you and said, well, God said, you're like, so you hear from God. You heard an audible voice, right? Because when we say that John said, you assume that I came to you and told you something. And so the assumption is that God showed up and then this audible voice hits you. And you're like, oh, so you heard just like... And you're like, well, no, not really. I didn't hear that the skies didn't part like with John the Baptist and the voice booming from, I didn't hear that. Well, what happened? Well, I got this feeling. Wait, you had a feeling? Well, I got this impression on my soul. I got this word in my head that just won't go away. And I think it's the Holy Spirit bringing me back to it over and over and over. Right? That's what we're actually meaning. And I just wonder if, like, is it on the front side of this, that when we talk about hearing from God, we need to be really careful that we're posturing ourselves in a place that we find in the scriptures. If you go to Acts 15, right? And in Acts 15, there's this crazy moment for the church. And by church, I mean not Heights Church, the church. Right? Because you got these Jews, and the Jews had specific ways, specific things they were doing that were a part of their religion pre-Jesus that carried on post-Jesus, right? They had rituals they were doing. And then these Gentiles who aren't Jewish, who are outside of that, they came and became part of the church. And as they became part of the church, here's what's amazing. The Jews looked at the Gentiles and go, you need to do the stuff we're doing. And so there's this big, in Acts 15, there's this big moment where the church got together and they made some monumental decisions. They made some decisions that set aside things that had been in the works with God for a long time. And you know the language they use? It seems good to us and the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're going to have you do. Excuse me. You're going to make a decision that impacts you today, by the way. That decision impacts you because it was grace, not law. It was three things instead of 613 things. Wait, excuse me. You're not going to say God said. They're like, no, we're going to say it seems. That word seems is that there was an impression. That they go, the Holy Spirit has put an impression on us. And it seems that impression is the same for all of us. And so we are going to write letters to the church to say, this is how we're going to be the church. You don't need to do all these things that those people are doing. We just need to hold to these three. That was a massive moment. And what's the language? It seems. But notice where the it seems happens is in community. And so what I'd love to do, because I want this to be practical, right? I want you to walk away going, okay, what is something tangible I can do today to posture myself that I'm hearing from God? And so I just want to look at two spots in the story. The first one is in Luke 19, and it's out of the life of Jesus. And in Luke 19, it begins like this, that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Okay, so what we get from the story, first off, is that there's this man named Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Now, what this means is he's a man up, in the hierarchy of the tax system, he's high, right? What that means is he's really rich because he's ripping off the tax collectors who were ripping off the people. So you can imagine tax collectors, they weren't very liked. Right? They weren't people that people wanted to hang out with. And he's a chief of those. So the dislike of the average person to him is even higher. And then it says specifically that he's very wealthy. That means he's been very lucrative at what he's doing. He's been very good at ripping people off is what that translates to. And so then it says in verse 3, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. Now there's all kinds of short jokes I can make, but my wife is short, so I got more wisdom than that today. We're gonna skip those jokes, okay? We're just gonna move right by. But the reality was he faced the problem. He's short. And so because he's short and he can't see over the crowd, he begins to climb a tree. And this is where it gets interesting on hearing God, okay? Because for Zacchaeus, he's doing something very intentionally, right? He understands what he is doing. He has come to this spot. He has put himself in a crowd. Why? Because he wants to see Jesus. Now, we don't know why. We don't know what his motives were. We don't know if his seeing Jesus was that he'd heard something and went, man, I need to meet that person. We don't know if he just was allured by the fact that people liked Jesus and he was popular, and so he's just going to go hang out with Jesus. But it says specifically that he climbed a tree to see Jesus. And this is what I want you to catch. He has put himself in a position and a posture to be in the presence of Jesus. He's climbing a tree. That's his why. If you're taking notes, I think one of the things that we need to capture in hearing from God is, am I posturing myself to hear from God? Do I know why I'm in the space that I'm in? Maybe a different way to put it in the context of the story is, do you know why you're climbing the tree that you're climbing? Because for Zacchaeus, he's intentionally climbing to see Jesus. It says in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Right? So Jesus gets there and he goes, hey, Zacchaeus, you need to come down. So there's this audible talking that he hears. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So the first thing you got is you got the posturing of Zacchaeus to be in the presence of God. He understands why he's climbing the tree. It's because I want to be around this Jesus. Then he gets to a point where Jesus shows up and Jesus talks to him. And he hears Jesus tell him something specific. And here's what I want you to catch. Like for Zacchaeus, this is something he did every day of his life, right? Zacchaeus had no friends. And so the friends that Zacchaeus had, he would buy. How would he buy them? He would throw a dinner party for them. He would provide all the food and all the alcohol. And he was known as, man, that's the party that you want to be at. That's the house, the dinner party. That's where you want to be. And so you got Zacchaeus, who is intentionally doing these things, right? And Jesus shows up. And if Zacchaeus is anything like us, hey, Zacchaeus, I want you to throw me a dinner party. A dinner party? I do that all the time. You're the Son of God. Don't you have something a little better than a dinner party? I was thinking maybe a little bigger, God. Like we could maybe plan a church plant somewhere, me and you. All right, this is how we work with God, right? We posture ourselves from here from God, and then we get an impression, or we feel like we got a word from God, or we feel like we got a sense of what God's doing, or a word that won't go away in our head because the Holy Spirit keeps bringing it back, and we don't like it because it's beneath what we think we should be doing. And so we decide that, God, that's beneath me, so when you come with something bigger, then maybe I'll listen to you. But what you get from Zacchaeus is he doesn't do that. He postures himself and he hears from God and he goes, hey, throw me a dinner party. And Zacchaeus comes down and he welcomes him immediately and puts on a dinner party for Jesus. To which the religious people got all excited, because then verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. Right? So what do the religious people do? Caw. Look at Jesus going with the chief tax collector at church, maybe just for connection to one of our values of Heights. Like if you're here and you're going, hey, what does Heights care about? One of our values that keeps us true north is hospitality. One of our values that keeps us true north is that all people matter to God, so they matter to us. This has to be a space. Our church and our community has to be a space where it doesn't matter if you've walked with Jesus for a long time or you came through the door and you're still getting off your high because you don't even know why you're here. We have to be a space that goes, hey, you are welcome because God has welcomed us all. And we will be found sitting with people that don't believe the same. We will sit at tables like we have an Alpha. You heard about Alpha last week, right? Where you can just go and ask questions and you're not going to be judged for your questions because we all got questions. Right? Your doubts are welcome. Like we have to be a space that this is true. Why? Because where you found Jesus was sitting at the table of a chief tax collector. Last time I checked, we're supposed to be like Jesus. And so now at this dinner table where they're reclining at the table, where the religious people are chirping in the background, like, what is Jesus doing? Look what happens. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Well, what happens is somewhere in that dinner, Zacchaeus got more time in the presence of Jesus. And in the presence of Jesus, he was impressioned with, he got a sense of, maybe it was verbal, we don't know, it doesn't tell us. But maybe it was just being in the presence and seeing who Jesus really was and what Jesus cared about, that something internally began to speak to Zacchaeus. And all of a sudden he has a moment where he goes, hey, I got to be obedient to what God is impressing on me. And that obedience is really uncomfortable because it's tearing down everything I've ever built. All the things that Zacchaeus has put his weight in and all the things he's put his value into, right? All the things that he's really cared about and built up his kingdom. He begins to go, I'm gonna tear it down block by block and pay back people. I'm gonna do the uncomfortable thing. You see what's amazing? The more time you spend with Jesus and the more time you walk with Jesus, guess what he's gonna ask you to do? The uncomfortable thing. You know how I know? It says to be a disciple, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. Okay, be a disciple, be an apprentice, right? An apprentice of Jesus. So I take the things of Jesus and I put them in action. Guess where it's leading? It's leading to dying. And sometimes that is a dying to self in the life that I want, in the kingdom that I want. Right? The idea that I keep dying and dying and dying to what I want so that I pick up what Jesus wants, that's sometimes what that means. Other times it means that I literally go die for Jesus because he calls me to somewhere where I'm going to give my life. How do I know that? Read the pages and the stories of the people on these pages. It often ended with them giving their life for the cause of the gospel. What is Jesus going to call you to? And this is where we give up. This is where we quit. We want to hear from Jesus, and then Jesus goes, you know what? Give your life. I'm good. You know what? That house that you built, come on, you've been planning for this. Jesus goes, I want you to give it away. Oh, that's too uncomfortable for me, Jesus. I can't do that. You see, somewhere along the way, we love it when it's the first moment of, hey, throw a dinner party, right? But somewhere along the way, it becomes really uncomfortable what God's asking because he's asking more and more and more of you. Why? Because he's taking your life and he's making you like Jesus. And it becomes uncomfortable. If you don't believe me, look at Jesus' life. It was not comfortable, but he was doing the will of God. And what's amazing is sometimes, I don't know how you feel about change. Everybody's different, right? Some people embrace change like, I can't wait, what's next? And some people are like, I'm good if I never do anything new for the rest of my life. And somewhere in there, right? Jesus is working with all of us. But you know what I find more often than not the uncomfortable is? God tells you to just stay. Stay. God, you know I don't like my job. Stay. God, you know I'm in America. Stay. God, you know they're raising kids. I'm just done with it. I want to live. Nope, stay. Guys, you know, I got all these dreams and yet stay. How do I know this? Because in my own life, there was a moment for me when I was watching everybody else around me. Oh, God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you. God's, oh, wow. And Heights wasn't what it was today. This is almost a decade ago. It was not comfortable. It was messy. It was a war zone, if I'm honest. And I'm standing in London, in Trafalgar Square, and I'm looking at the heavens. And I'm like, God, I will go anywhere else on this planet but please don't send me back to Heights Church, Prescott, Arizona. True story, I promise you, I can tell you exactly where I was standing. In fact, I even gave God some suggestions. This would be good, that would be good, this would be good. St. Croix would be great, God. Little Baptist church, I could do that. And you know what I heard? You gotta go back. You gotta stay. You're not done. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but you know what I heard? An impression on my soul. In my head, the Holy Spirit going, you gotta go back. You gotta stay. To which then, extremely uncomfortable is to come back and walk with God into that space. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who leaves is bad. Please don't hear that. But I am saying that sometimes the most uncomfortable thing you can do is be faithful to the place where God's got you. The other grass we believe is greener. Just water yours. It'll be fine. Right? A lot of times we get this anxiousness of God's got to move me. And a lot of times God's going, no, I got you where I want you. Just be faithful and stay. COVID was amazing, right? How many people do you know that COVID became the voice of God? And what really happened is they actually saw their life and how fragile it was and had a panic moment and went, we got to go. And then they came up to you and said, God said, we got to go. In reality, all that happened was is that COVID had changed their experience and they're out. You see, when we position ourselves to hear from God, what we're often going to hear is uncomfortable and what we don't want to hear, because God is calling us to a life of discipleship and calling us into the uncomfortable with him. There's another story. It's found in Acts chapter 16, and it's this moment with Paul. Now, those of you that don't know Paul, Paul's kind of, yeah, Jesus really likes him and meets him in a miraculous way. And Paul steps into following Jesus. And the way he follows Jesus is he's actually blind at the start, right? He meets Jesus. Jesus puts scales on his hands, leads him by hand to a city, because that's what he was told to do. So he goes and does. He's obedient to what God first told him. And he's sitting in a city, and in that city, God now puts an impression and speaks to another person named Ananias. And God goes, hey, Ananias, I need you to go to Paul. And when you get to Paul, I need you to tell him some stuff. Which Ananias goes, wait, Paul, the one that's killing Christians? That Paul? Yes, that Paul. I don't want to go. And he goes, no, you got to go, because you got to tell Paul that he is my chosen instrument. He is the one that I've selected to take the good news of Jesus to those that are outside of the Jewish faith, the Gentiles. So you gotta go. So Ananias hears from the Lord and obeys. Paul then receives this word, and Paul then begins to give his life, going out, and everywhere he goes, he's telling Gentiles about Jesus, telling Gentiles about Jesus. And what happens is all these churches begin to get established, all these little groups of believers, right? Followers of the way. And in the midst of that, Paul takes one journey, right? Comes back and gets ramped up and goes out on a second journey. And we're gonna jump into a second journey in verse 6. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia, Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now, if you're sitting there going, John, I don't even know where those places are. It's okay. That's how you should feel. But what we're getting here is we're getting specifically what is happening in Paul's experience of listening to God and being obedient and following God. And so I came with a map today. Those of you that know me, you're like, you got a map? Yes, I got a map. You ready? Looks like spaghetti. What I need you to get from this one is if you look at the top left, you see Italy. Most people will know where Italy is, geographically speaking. And then on the other side, you got Israel. And then in the middle is kind of the journeys of Paul. And so we're going to zoom in. I want you to follow the orange line. That's the journey that we're talking about. See all these other lines? He took four journeys. It's just representation of where he went. But on the orange line, you'll notice that it starts in the bottom right and it goes up, and then all of a sudden it goes up north. But you see that purple line that carries on to Ephesus? That's where Paul wanted to go. Okay, there's crowd participation in this, by the way. Everybody see Ephesus? Okay, that's where he wanted to go. Okay, so in the pea color green, go all the way to the left, you'll see Ephesus at the end of the purple line. So Paul's going along, and he wants to go to Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit, it says, stops him. He wanted to go into Asia. Why did he want to do that? There's actually a highway that existed back then, and so it put him in a whole lot of trading communities, and it put him into a major city by the end. And what you get is he goes north, and he continues on through Phrygia and Galatia, and he gets to Bithynia, that kind of purpley-looking, I think it's purpley-looking at the top. And he's stopped from going into Bithynia. So then he hangs a left and they go to Mysia, but he's not allowed into Mysia. And he ends up, if you follow that orange line across Mysia, to Troas. Now, here's what I want you to get, because this is important. This is Paul. He's a super Christian. He is like, if you're putting him on a pedestal, this dude is like top of the list. How do I know that? He wrote most of the book, the New Testament part of it. Right? Like this guy's walked with Jesus. And what I want you to get is a practical sense. So here's how we're going to do this, right? You guys over here, okay? You guys are going to be Asia and Ephesus. And Paul is going along and he's like, oh, we're going to hang a left. We're going to go to Asia and Ephesus and they're going to get the gospel. Why? Because he's following his why. What was his why? Take the gospel where? To those that aren't Jewish, to the Gentiles. There's a whole bunch of Gentiles in Asia and Ephesus. So what happens? Paul's going along. They take a left. They're going. And it says that the Holy Spirit stops him. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if that was an impression. I don't know if that was a physical, like, you're not going to go here. We don't know. But we do know that as he was going, wait, hang on, let's step back a second. Is it a good thing that Paul wants to do to you guys? Yeah, he wants to give you Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, no Jesus for you. I want you to catch something. Because the Holy Spirit redirects Paul. You want a quote from the sermon? The Holy Spirit is better at redirecting you than your GPS. We don't think so. You know how I know? Because I sit with a lot of people who are stressing over, how do I know what's right? I don't want to make the wrong move. Can I tell you, you won't screw up God. He's bigger than that. And so Paul's going along with his companions who all love Jesus and are doing the will of God, and they turn to go to Ephesus, and he goes, no. And then he continues on, and they're going north. Right? And as they continue on north, Bithynia, no. Mysia, no. And along the way, the Holy Spirit is in this dance with them. I love that it's more like a dance than anything else. It's more like, man, you put your foot here. I don't dance, so there you go. Put your foot here, and then here, and then we'll turn here. We'll turn. Like, it's this dance with the Holy Spirit, right? Don't laugh at my dance moves, high schoolers. Come on. So there's this moment, right, where he's dancing with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's leading. I heard somebody say this week, we have a teaching prep team, and there's a guy named John who's in the teaching prep team. And if you do sermon-based study guide questions for your life group, John is the one that sits in. He's a serve team member for life groups. Sits in teaching team, hears where the communicator's going, and creates questions for you so you can dive deeper. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But John's there and he's hearing where we're going. And he goes, you know, in my life, I've always thought of this, you know, we always want the blueprint, right? We want God to tell us exactly what life's going to be. We want all the parts. We want all the plumbing, all the electrical. We want to know exactly what it looks like. He said, instead of what it's like is God doesn't give us the floor plan. He gives us the next step. And all of a sudden we go, oh, a door. Oh, look, another room. Oh, look, running water. And the Holy Spirit walks with us each step of the way. And so Paul, in a posture of following what God has told him to do, is postured to hear from God. Listen what happens. Verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God shows up in a vision and God gives him some fresh information, to which Paul goes back to his community. And in community, they find consensus. They conclude together, this is where God's telling us to go. So he's going to Bithynia, no. He's going to Mysia, no. And he goes here to Macedonia, right? He goes to Macedonia, which what I need you to see on a map, okay? So we can put the map back up because it's really important. Macedonia, see that yellow part up there? Macedonia is that yellow part. Why is that significant? Because Macedonia is Europe. And so as Paul's going along following the Holy Spirit, God leads him to take the gospel to Europe. And now Gentiles, those that aren't Jewish, are hearing of the good news and churches are being established. Why is this important? Because you are a benefit of Paul going to Macedonia and the gospel making it to Prescott, Arizona today for you to hear the good news of Jesus. But it didn't start. It didn't start with God going, hey, let me give you the GPS coordinates. It started with Paul going, I'll be obedient to what you've shown me today. I'll listen to your voice and I'll take in your voice. In community, I'll discern what that is. And the gospel went somewhere it had never gone before. What if God wants to use you to take the gospel somewhere it's never been to before, like your neighbor? And he's just waiting for you to hear. And you're like, my neighbor, that's not very exciting. I was thinking, you know, St. Croix. Just be obedient to what he's impressed on you today. Use your language of, I sense the Holy Spirit doing this. It seems good to the Holy Spirit in us. I was chatting with those of you that know Caleb. He's one of our worship leaders at the church. He's specifically the worship leader for Prescott Valley and our youth. Like he oversees all that. Yeah, we can clap for him. Come on. There's a number of years ago, Caleb was here and we were at a conference together. And at the conference, he looks at me and he goes, Germany. I'm like, okay, what? He's like, God just impressed on me Germany and I don't know what it means. And I watched him journey through with Kelsey, his wife. I watched him journey through what Germany meant. And it meant that they were going to Germany. And I'm like, that's crazy. Nobody wants to go to Germany, right? I'm English. I can say that. So they go to Germany and then they come back to Heights. And so I was asking him this week, I was like, Caleb, can you help me understand to just make it practical for people? What did that look like hearing from God? He said, honestly, when I was younger, it was a lot easier. When we made the first decision, it was like, yeah, why wouldn't we? He said, but then, you know, we've got a kid now and we're established and we're in leadership positions and life's a little more complicated. And he said, that decision was much harder. He said, and if I'm really honest with you, we were 51% sure that this is what the Holy Spirit was leading us towards. And then he said something fascinating to me because he said, you know, following the Holy Spirit really is somewhere between 51% and 99%. And I don't know how you feel, but sometimes, man, I step into what the Lord's impressed on me and I'm like, I don't know. But he's always faithful if I need redirecting, He'll redirect. He's always faithful to use community. You know what community saves you from? Showing up and saying God said something that he never said. You know what God's really good at? Saying what he's already said. What he's calling you to and the kingdom he's building, he's already laid out in this book what that looks like. And your life will match up to what he's already said. So if you're saying something crazy, guess what? There's a good chance you need community to guide you back to truth. But I wonder how many of us are 51% today and too scared to follow the nudge, the impression of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're in a season of, I need God to speak to understand what this season is. But whether you're there or the 51, today, be obedient to what he's called you to. It's that simple. Posture yourself in his presence so that you can hear, and surround yourself with community that can help lead. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for being our creator and our sustainer. Holy Spirit, thank you for walking with us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are not only are you present, but you are present in us. That whether we find ourselves trying to push through Asia, you will be faithful to tell us what we need to hear. God, whether we're in a season of waiting or a season of doubt or a season of fear or a season of celebration, would your spirit make it clear to us? Would you make it clear what our next step is? Would you make it clear in the areas that, God, we're waiting for something bigger, but you've already spoken? Would you give us confidence and courage to do what you've put in front of us today and follow you? God, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak as we sing the words, yes, I will. Yes, I will today. Would your spirit speak to us both in this room and across screens? Would you speak in Baghdad? Would you speak in Paulden today? God, would your spirit ignite in us fresh impressions, fresh leadings, fresh words? And would you guide us, because we need you to direct. And so God, we thank you for seasons because they cause us to grow. We're excited for the new growth to come. Thank you for loving us first. And everybody said, amen.